Welcome back to another episode of Broken Record Ministry. I'm Ronnie. Coffee Mike's here.
Hello, everybody.
You see anything up there you like?
Well, I was curious because the screen shows audio number one, and I know you're number one mic, so I thought maybe when I talked, it would say whatever mic number was.
No, it's just a line in.
Oh, well, sorry. Carry on.
Schmedium Mike is here.
How y'all doing?
The lethal weapon, Stephanie, is here.
Hello.
Vintage Bob is back.
Yes, he is.
And it looks like he's got a few more miles on making me more vintage.
Oh.
He might have.
Well, I mean, you look tired today, Bob. You must have worked really hard.
I don't know when Bob doesn't.
Bob didn't get his sleep in on Saturday.
He did not.
He didn't get his wake
up. I usually get an extra hour on Saturday.
Schmike, will you read our Bible verse for us tonight?
Absolutely. I'll be reading from an ESV version, Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
This episode topic is keeping your head up. This is what I texted the group. And then we'll go from there, since that's has always been a thing, right? Right, Coffee Mike?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
I just can't remember which thing. But anyway, go ahead.
Living life in exile is exhausting and not a place we should be. How can Christians keep going? How can you continue to follow God? And what's some advice through our own personal struggles to keep going? Because I know some of us around this table like to push people away at different times. And that would be our exile when we want to be our little pouty patty self.
I don't know anybody like that. Especially around this table.
Ronnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides Ronnie.
That is me for sure.
He's talking by himself because nobody else does that.
Yeah. Okay, me. I do that.
Thank you. Okay. First step's admitting it.
Yeah, that's right.
I know it's not a great place to be.
I think part of my struggle every time I go there is the fact that I know it's not, and that I know it's not a good place to be, that it does me no good, and that it's so much, I won't say easier, but it's so much better to not be, but I still let myself go there almost each and every time.
Well, when we go there, we don't have to answer to nobody.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk.
We don't have any accountability.
Correct. Yeah. We don't have to. Yeah, accountability. I guess that would be the only way to put it.
Yeah. Never thought about that, Bob. But yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're having a pity party, you don't want nobody telling you you're wrong anyway.
Yeah. Or trying to pull you out of it.
Or trying to pull you out of it. You know, you want to wallow in your misery.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that blows my mind that. That us, as being founded in God and knowing Jesus, knowing who He is and how He treats us and what He does for us, that we can wallow in our own misery. I mean, it just, but I do it too. All of us do it. We do it. I mean, I guess that's just the flesh in us, but still, you know, we should strive to fight back that flesh.
Yeah,
you know, and strive to keep focused on Him, focus on the right thing instead of all the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do most of the time when we get in our pity parties. I mean, you focus on the situation you're in, or you focus on what's happening in your life instead of being like, oh, God's got this, Jesus has got this, Jesus done it already. There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, there's nothing new that you can do because it's already been done.
You can't reinvent the wheel.
You cannot reinvent the wheel. unless it's square.
Yeah.
Then it's not a we.
Nope. And it didn't go very smooth.
Or you just go. Said it right there.
Or go, period.
Yeah. Or go, period. There again, you said it there. You guys nailed it. All right, we're done.
All right. No, we'll see you next week. Well, and I think something that Bob had put in our chat as well was, you know, he said to sum it up, acknowledge the little things, which I think is something that, you know, is hugely important.
Which, yeah, because went with what Carl sent, the three verses that he sent. It was all like,
yep.
Yeah, I think he sent that, and then I sent the topic, and it was like within 2 or 3 minutes of it, so... Sorry, I can't just be like, oh, it says Joshua 3:16, and I know what that is, right? But like, I hadn't even read it yet, and it pretty much sums it up.
Sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It does.
So I think that's important for us as Christians, obviously in no way, shape, or form to be loud and boisterous about it, but to look at the small things, whether it be the small things that you that God's brought you through and that you can see in yourself or somebody else can and points out to you, because obviously a lot of us, we're our own worst critics and we don't see the any sometimes good in anything we do. But because otherwise you're just setting yourself up for failure, because regardless, the human side of us may not, we may be able to be very, very humble, but we still want to know that we're doing something right. You know, it's not the accolades of it, but just know
we're on the right path.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that that's what those are. When somebody says, hey, I really see this in you. I really, or I see how you've changed this. Or when you do say something that you've done that they know a year ago, you know, 6 months ago, 6 days ago, you wouldn't have done it that way. You know, you need to celebrate those small things in your life, so that you know, okay, I am doing something different. God is showing through in me because he has changed this in me. And you have to celebrate those small victories, because it just gives you, I think, that that little bit to go on.
Yeah.
You know, so that you're not like one of the people that's so far in a pity party that's like, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. You know, that's not what it's about. It's not about what are you doing. It's what is God doing through you.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so.
Well, you know, and on the flip side of that, you know, we should celebrate the small things, but also we should bring the small things to God.
Oh, yeah.
For one thing, we serve a big, big God.
Mm-hmm.
And he cares about everything that we do, everything that happens in our lives. But we, ourselves, are like, God don't need to mess with that. It's too small for him.
Right.
You know, nothing's ever too small. Nothing's ever too big. Mm-hmm. He cares about it all. He wants you to bring it all to him and leave it there. Leave it at the cross. But we never do that.
Yeah.
We go there with good intentions. But sometimes. When we get up, sometimes, correct. Yeah. But when we get up, we usually drag something back with us.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, there. It's either we either drag it back or it's attached itself to us, and it's like a weight that just comes back with you when you get up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of severing that weight, we just bring it back. Like, okay, I can take care of that for God. He'll help me through this, but I'll take care of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, when we drag stuff back and we say, well, we're going to take care of it, that's not placing your trust in God.
Mm-mm.
By no means. Nope. Are we placing any kind of trust in him? Matter of fact, we're saying, okay, God, I don't think you can fix that for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we're saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the thing is, if you don't allow him to take care of the little things, that's what's going to drag you down into your pity party.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many little things is going to hit you all in one shot. What are you going to do? You're going to be so overwhelmed. You can't.
Right. And if you can't
do anything about it.
If you can't trust him with the small things, how do you ever think you're really going to trust him with the big things?
Correct. That's what I always say. You know, if we can trust him with our salvation, our eternity, why can't we trust him with the everyday life stuff?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I used to be one of those that, no, this is too small for him. He's got way too much to worry about this with mm-hmm. me.
Sometimes we are all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's still stuff that we all drag back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't say that I surrender everything to him at the cross. And that's stupid. Mm-hmm. I should. But there's some things that I don't. I mean, I just like that weight, I just drag it back. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like a ball and chain, I just drag it around with me.
Yeah. Yep.
And you notice, like, when I'm in my desolate spot, that's when more text messages come. And it's not just like group text, or at least for me, right? It's like individuals, back to back to back to back to back. And I'm like, quit. Like, I just want to be alone for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, are you all right? Hey, you good? Hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm trying to get away from you guys. That's what I'm trying to do.
Trying to throw that wall up again. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I guess he don't know what an off button is, does he?
No, I, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also that subtle reminder, too, of, like, I'm not alone.
Right.
And
yeah, because that's the time where you're like, okay, this is the reason. This is just one of the reasons God put them in my life.
Yeah,
whomever it is that's reaching out and whoever's doing that. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And hopefully that's how we take it. Obviously, depending on what it is and how the day's gone or the week's gone or whatever, could depend on how we're taking that.
Yeah.
You know, you could pull further away or you can ignore or whatever, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I've said ad nauseum. You know, you want that big flashing sign when God may be, you know, having a feather fly by you. And you're missing that feather, you know?
Yep. Coffee Mike, you've been strangely quiet.
Well, Ron's gone. I thought I'd step in for him. But anyway, no.
Not silent. Awkwardly silent. Oh.
So you're awkward Mike.
It wouldn't be the first time. But
he is the nutty one.
See, not a word. I haven't said a word. Yep.
Still haven't
here
lived
she
it
comes.
Down.
Here she comes.
Still haven't lived it down.
No, I tend to isolate a lot. I'm sure most of you know that, but... you're right, Ronnie. About the time you want to be left alone, everybody and their brother wants to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't want to be bothered. Let me alone. I'm over here happy. Well, not happy, but alone, not having to deal with anything.
As far as you know, I'm happy.
As far as you know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You should rethink your happy.
Yeah.
I know. Right. I know. Believe me, I understand that. No, I you know, it comes down to what Bob was talking about. It's funny he brought... the exact words he said just a few minutes ago, Carl and I talked about today, about complete surrender, just a little bit. And that's what you brought up tonight. And I was like, that's twice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't need that big flashing sign because it just hit me in the head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think once you decide to completely surrender, which you can think you've surrendered, but that doesn't mean you have.
You can surrender.
Yes, but not completely.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of isolation for me comes from, not surrendering what I need to let go of, that I think I should control. Like Bob said, this piddly stuff. God's running the world. He doesn't have time for that.
Yeah.
You know? He's too busy for me. And I think it's a conception a lot of Christians have out there. I'm one of them. You know, that... I don't know what's going on most of the time, and I don't pay close enough attention, and I think I'm right when I'm wrong, which all leads to lots of problems in your spiritual life.
I don't think there's a Christian out there that doesn't have problems in their spiritual life.
Oh yeah, I know, but I mean, why add to them, you know, yourself?
It's true. That's true. But we do,
because we're not divine.
No.
And we're definitely not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, something that Stephanie said here a while back, I actually put to use. Believe that one, Steph.
You're nutty.
What'd she say?
That you're nutty.
Oh, no, I thought she said...
She's not letting that one go.
I thought she said that I had a nightlight. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear her. Yes, I do. But anyway...
It must be a damn one.
She said, you know, you don't know... what you're supposed to do if you don't study. I know this sounds like a final word for me, but it's not right now. It's knowledge is important, but knowledge is not all no be all. You have to have that faith that goes with it and that trust. So trying to incorporate those is what sometimes brings me back out of my Gilligan's Island moment. You know?
Yeah. Steph.
Nutty woman, go ahead.
Whoa, I didn't say that.
Pushing it, ain't he?
Yeah.
Oh, riding that envelope.
Yeah. It could be lethal excuses, Steph.
Ooh, I like that. Let's go with that.
I don't have excuses.
You had some today?
I did. Oh, and that's God true. Made it very clear he wasn't taking them.
Not open for business.
I have legitimate reasons to not be here today. Which goes
did you really?
I really did.
Did like, you?
You thought you did because yes. You're here.
Right. Yes, I was bargaining with God, and God just told me to figure it out.
Yeah.
God's like, no bargaining here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said no. Which really leads right into what my thoughts were with this topic. Carl being out of town again in Philadelphia, and it's one of, like, when he's gone, it's exhausting for me because I got three daughters and I'm taking care of all the things for all three of them. And I've come to notice that I enjoy church for a whole different reason when he's gone, because it's the only time I have in that entire time to just sit and be, because I don't have the time. Like, it's always somebody in my ear, mom, and I'm like, just give me 5 minutes. And 5 minutes is usually 5 seconds.
Yeah. Go ask your dad. Wait, no, he's not here.
Yeah. And yes. And it was really, it seems like each trip Carl goes on, it gets harder and harder for me. Naomi's getting older, so she's more needy. She's really clingy right now. She's just got a whole lot of all the things going, especially now that she's walking and getting into all the things. It always hits Faith really hard when he's gone, and then Grace is a teenager.
Enough said there.
Right.
I was like, no further comment. Love you, Grace.
But. Right, yes. But each time it's getting harder, and so I enjoy the Sunday moment more and more. And I know I could call pretty much anybody, especially if you're at the table, and somebody would be there. But it just really hit me Sunday after service. Somebody stopped me and said, if you need anything, we're just a phone call away. And they really made a point to reach out to me. And I'm like, that was the only person the entire time that said a word to me about it. Everybody's always, hey, I'm thinking about Carl, praying for him, like, and I love it. Please do. Please continue. But I think that's one thing where me being me, as the topic is, I don't reach out for help. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to push my way through. I'm going to figure it out. And I'm going to make myself so weary in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said, hey, if you need anything, let me know. We're here. Like, even just taking the kids for a little bit of time or getting kids to different things, and it just meant the world to me. And it's those little things that I think sometimes we take for granted. Sometimes as believers, we're like, well, they know. I knew, but I really needed somebody to say it, because I'm not the type of person that's going to, like, hey, can you do this for me?
Yeah. Right.
Let me dial in this paper.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Because in the back of my mind, I'm like, then I'm going to have to owe them. And I don't like owing people anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because that's, in my past, it was always, I do a favor for you, you owe me. Mm-hmm. It's just those things before you come to faith that I think we hold on to, and we have to, like I've said many times, trust is an issue for me. And so when people say those things, I'm like, okay, what's the catch?
Right, yeah.
But I know when this person said that to me Sunday, like, it was genuine. And I'm like, you're the first person. Carl's been gone since 4 o'clock Friday morning, and you're the first person to really say something to me. And I didn't realize how much I needed to hear that. And it was just that little thing for me that really just helped me say, okay, I got people mm-hmm. still. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I yeah. can do this. I can keep going. And so that was really, even before you sent the topic out, like, I knew that was going to be what God pressed me to want to have to say tonight. And then after really thinking about the topic, my mind went to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was, like, we know, he's made very clear, he paved the way for Christ. Mm-hmm. And when he was in prison, he sent two messengers to Christ in Matthew 11, asking him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? And he had that moment of doubt. John the Baptist had that moment of, am I right? Am mm-hmm. I where I should be? Is this who I think it is? Like, who knows what he was really feeling, but he's sitting in prison alone, probably not what he anticipated his life turning out to be like.
Right, yeah.
But there he was. And what I love the most in all of that is Christ's response. Christ didn't say, how dare you question me? How right. dare you not believe I am who I am? Like, you know me better than most. We grew up together. Like, we're cousins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, how do you not know?
Yeah.
But Christ is, my favorite verse in that is Matthew 11:11. And he says, truly I say to you, among these born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I just love that, because even when John the Baptist sends somebody asking, are you really the Messiah? Christ's response is to the people there, nobody's greater than this guy. And I don't know, it just speaks to my heart that even when we have those moments of questioning or not being as strong as we were before, Christ is like, hey, I've lived through this life too. It's tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I get it. But don't lose sight.
Love the humbleness too.
Yeah.
That of all people Christ had. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That knows, I mean, just he was going to change everything, but he could also be not humble about it. You know what I mean? But still putting somebody in you can take it for whatever you mean, whatever you want, but I mean, a lonely human that was made, you know, by him. But he put him above himself. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. In a moment where he absolutely didn't have to or anything like that. And I think that you make a very, very valid point, too. You're talking about just the remembrance that you still have, that you have people. Because I think, like you said, you know you could call anybody around or our spouses and mm-hmm. you wouldn't have a problem. But I think that we, even around the table, need to remember it still needs to be said sometimes. You know what I mean? Not for any reason other than it just needs to be said sometimes. You know, I mean, remind each other that, you know, hey, we still need to say, if you need anything, you call. You know, not to do it, you know, for any other reason than it just needs to be heard sometimes, because you do. You don't think about when you're going to need it.
Right.
You know, because it probably struck you being you as really odd that you're like, I needed to hear that. Wow.
It did, and I'm gonna be honest, like, you guys know me, I'm not an emotional person at all.
Yeah.
But I'm like there, and I could feel the emotions coming, and I'm like, oh God, please, not now.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm in front of people. don't do this to me now.
Like, I cannot get to the car quick enough, do not do this now.
Right, yeah, and I'm pretty much right after that, I'm like, okay, Grace, let's go. Let's go get the other two, let's leave. And so we took off pretty quick. But I think, like, we all know people who are in ministry in one way or another. And for me, like, that's a big thing. Like, not for me personally, but just to remember that, yeah, the person who's doing it, pray for him, you know, ask him, what can we do for you? But don't forget the ones that are keeping it up at home, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Like, especially having, if Grace was younger, like, closer to the other two's age, there's no way I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And she's, I highly depend on her a lot. Like, right now, she's watching Naomi for me. And there's, God made it clear, I got to figure out how to get here tonight. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for her, that wouldn't have been possible.
Right.
And I could not imagine having all young kids. Because mm-hmm. there's no way I could make that work. And so that's not really just for me, but for all people
yeah.
who are in ministry. You know, everybody has the family. Everybody has somebody that they're walking away from to go do the ministry. And just don't forget about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I like,
don't go ahead.
Like your catch, right? Like, there's always a catch.
Right.
And that's what the world thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over the weekend, we had the free oil change ministry. Like, it wasn't, like, specific, like, single moms or, you know, yep. low income or whatever. It was just, it's a free oil change ministry, period. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Between this time and this time, you just show up.
Yep.
I bet I got over, we'll say 10 to 15 on the low side, messages about, not about what time is it, the process, but, okay, what do I need to bring?
Mm-hmm.
What's the catch?
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought,
right?
Yeah,
like,
that was the quote, the yeah. what's the catch? And I know Bob did as well because, like, it was at his shop and it was on the flyer. So it was, he even got phone calls during the week. What's the catch? What's,
yeah.
Even
yeah.
people showing up. Okay, what's the catch?
Yeah.
What do I got to do
here? It was like, it was great seeing their face when they came in
mm-hmm.
because you know that they needed it for one,
yeah.
right? But also the sigh of relief that, there was no catch. There was no asterisk that said, please read fine print,
yeah.
whatever, right? Like,
right, yeah.
because my answer, and I copied and pasted it most times, was just be there between this time and this time.
Yep.
Give a little grace and a little patience because you might have a wait depending on whatever, but
yeah,
that's all you need. And then it was like, that's all I need? Yes.
You need an oil change.
Just come.
Come on.
Right?
Yep.
Just like church services.
Absolutely.
Just go. Yep. Just show up.
Yep. That's
right.
All you got to do. And it's funny because I could tell there were some people that even when their stuff was done, they were still kind of waiting for the other shoe to fall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were still yeah. like kind of hanging around like, can I really just go get my car and leave?
Yeah.
Can I really? Because they were just like even sometimes asking, well, where's my keys? Oh, they're in the vehicle sitting outside. Just. Like, yeah. and there's like, wait, what?
Keys are in it.
Huh? You know?
Yeah.
And stuff, which is sad.
Well, that's because I think that's, I mean? That's the world that we're in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
There's always a catch.
Right.
There's no free lunch.
Yeah. yeah.
Hey, there yeah. was there too.
well, yeah, there was.
I mean, you know, literally, I mean, but, and that's so unfortunate. But I have to tell you, I can't express it. Just to be a part of it and to be able to do that was so unbelievably moving to me, to just know there's no other reason to do this. We're not trying to catch anybody in anything or whatever.
Yeah.
We've been blessed to be able to do this twice now. And I pray that if anything, we can just do more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That goes to Ron since Bob was doing 2-1.
Yeah.
You know,
well, yeah.
What's that?
Oil changes.
2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were doing 2 to his 1.
I'm saying we can do more, but like not in a one session or anything.
I was definitely more messy than him.
well, you were both yeah. messy babies oh, growing yeah. up, I bet.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
I did. I turned and knocked that bucket right off.
A couple times. But it was just such a blessing just to be a part of it. It really was.
Yeah.
And I know I wasn't really a part of it this time like I was last time. But what I always love about those, coming back to our topic, is how that rejuvenates us.
Mm-hmm.
I know the weird connection, but we were watching Bluey the other day because it is Naomi's favorite thing. She dances to it all the time. Like, she'll run out of whatever work she's getting into to come watch it. So sometimes you turn it on just to get her out of what she's doing. But
gonna get her out of the cabin. All right.
There's an episode where Bluey's struggling to clean up the living room, and I'm like, oh, got that one down. that is all three of them. But then she starts cleaning up the living room, like at the end of the episode. She starts cleaning up the living room, including Bingo, her little sister's stuff, and her tail starts to wag. And she's like, oh, helping people makes my tail wag. It makes me happy, like basically because they're dogs. And I'm like, how true is that for us, though? Like,
oh, yeah.
If we had tails, I'm mm-hmm. sure they all would have been wagging at, you know, at the oil change, because it refills us. And I think sometimes that gets us out of this, oh, poor, pitiful me. Like, yeah, you got to get up and you got to go and you got to do it. But when you're done with it, you're like, ooh, my cup's been filled.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's not just filled with worldly things. It's filled with spiritual things. So I feel good. Like, I could take on the world right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. And it was also only the second time we've done this particular one ministry, but at the same time, it was like somebody said, can we give donations? Huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I didn't even have the bucket ready.
We had nothing. Because, yeah, we...
I can't believe Mike, that gal.
You know?
I was talking to this gal, and she said, this is wonderful what you guys are doing. I said, well, we're doing it to show the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, well, I'd like to give a donation. Can I give a donation? And just like you, I went, and I turned around, and Mike was behind me. I said, Mike, are we taking donations? He goes, I guess we can, yeah. You know, we didn't solicit it.
So both of you gave your normal answers of,
pretty much.
Pretty good, yeah.
Pretty much. And we were so high class, we had a big old coffee can.
Yeah. Right. With a lid on it.
It was amazing. I mean, that...
But you never tell them no. Yeah. Because if you tell them no, that takes their blessing away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm a big, firm believer, you never take somebody's blessing.
Yep. Yep. And I loved it too. I don't know who made the sign or who had even said it, but you did the sign that donations and prayers, and so that was amazing, because obviously you have the whole reason we're doing it is because we feel like this is a needed thing. There's people who can't afford it again,
and that was years. Me, right? Like, there was no selfishness. Like, I don't want to ask for money.
Yeah.
So let me ask for prayers instead.
Yeah.
Right. Like.
Oh yeah.
Because, like, we were doing it to help people.
Absolutely.
Not for anything, not the catch. There was no catch for us coming back.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I told Rose, I was like, I want to put prayers on here because I'd rather see more slips of paper that have prayer requests on it than actual dead president paper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and that, so it was just, just amazing,
Well, and then it was amazing to watch God work.
Yeah.
Because he worked in a big way. And I'm going to tell you what, I just almost, and I should have done it, I almost got up and went up in front of the congregation and told them what happened. Mm-hmm. And I told Cole about it, and he goes, well, you should have done it. And I'm like, and yesterday would have been a good day to do it.
Yeah, it would have been.
But I did not.
Yeah.
And I should. And I'm still going to, I think.
I think you should.
Because obviously they just, it's on they your need, heart. They need to know.
Yeah.
They need to know what kind of big, big God we serve.
Yep.
And that he's still active.
And that he is still active.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point, Steph, because sometimes I find myself wondering.
Like where we're at, right? Back on topic, right?
On topic. Yeah. Where is he?
Yep.
I know the Bible says he hears me.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a perfect example of... To us, it's something that's huge, but when you think about the overall, everything that's going on in the world today, it is very small of the blessing that we got this weekend from what happened, and we have to have that as a victory. We have to be proud of that, not big-headed or anything like that, but he is the one who showed up, and he was
correct.
The
we should active. Glorify
we have to
him.
Advertise him.
That's there you go.
And that is so you are so
and what she means by advertise, folks, is we need to glorify him.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we're the worst. I think us sitting around this table sometimes are the worst about that, because we don't want to be big-headed about it, and we get on that line, and we're so far to one side of that line of we're just not going to say anything about it because we don't want to be boisterous. We don't want to come off as the other way and be arrogant about it, that we just don't do.
No, but he tells us to boast in him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
And like, so this is our second time doing this particular one, mm-hmm. right? But like, I wasn't there the first one mm-hmm. because I took guys to a men's conference.
Yeah.
And it happened the first time.
It did. Yep.
And, like, the quote-unquote realist in me was like, there's no logical way.
Oh, tell me about it, Ronnie. I put this,
like, you know what I mean? High level back. Like, I was just like, okay. Like,
Brother Bob, I think you need to go ahead and say it.
What's that?
No, but let me finish before you do. Because I was like, no, it has to be, like, something. Right? Like, gauges were messed up, like something.
Yeah, human error, whatever. Yep.
But then being there Saturday and seeing you stare at it and Mike go over to you, and then I know neither one of you have like long Axl Rose type hair, but like scratching your head like
our flowing locks.
Scratching your head like, well, what's going on here? And I'm like, okay, I got to go over because are we almost out or like what's going on? Or were you like...
I already knew what was happening.
I know.
And I knew he was going to do it. And that's exactly why I went and looked. Because, I mean, I just knew he was going to do it. He did last year. Why wouldn't he do it this year?
Yeah.
You know, he takes care of his people. And what he'd done for us was, when we done the oil change, we done 43 oil changes because I forgot to give you all a paper.
Oh,
okay. So we done 43 oil changes, used probably 47 gallons of oil. Both of my containers, one was at a little over 3/4 of a tank. The other one was a little over 7/8 of a tank. When we was done with them oil changes, one tank was just barely under 3/4 and the other tank was just barely under 7/8. Mm-hmm. And we're talking 47 gallons of oil.
Yeah.
Even if we took 20 gallons, 25 gallons per tank out, or however it worked out, them needles should have dropped significantly.
Right.
They did not. Mm. And that's exactly what it done. That's exactly what happened last year. And I'm confident that it's going to happen every year we do it.
Mm. Well, you know, even when Jesus fed the 5,000 with the two fish,
there was some left over.
There was some left over. Mm. And some of it, there was gone. Some of it was gone. Mm-hmm. It was eaten. Now, we don't eat oil. Well, you shouldn't eat oil.
I don't know. I've ate my share of it.
Okay. You and Ron wore your share of it.
Correct.
You know, Steph was talking. I kept coming to the thought in my mind about advertising God. What you said was, how many times in the Bible did he tell someone to erect a monument to remember what he had done at that spot for whomever it may have been? Mm-hmm.
What are you giving me that look for? It's not advertisement.
But she knows that word just gets crawled.
Yeah, it does.
You know. You're the one that corrected me Saturday, so I'm going to keep saying it.
Yeah, I know.
You brought that on yourself.
Yeah, I did. And I was right Saturday, and I'm right now.
So you're saying we shouldn't advertise God?
No. I'm saying that advertising...
Here we go.
We should use a different word.
Yeah. Why?
Because advertise is a dirty word.
It just,
how is it dirty?
I don't
sounds,
know. It sounds
depends on
bad.
What you're advertising, whether it's dirty or not.
Because we know the world that we live in, and advertising means...
promoting?
All the bad things.
I think for me the connotation is normally what's associated with advertising.
Yeah.
What do they always say? Blank sells. So to me, that's my bad connotation with it.
Yeah.
But I agree with you.
But you can't say God sells because He freely gives everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's,
we can promote him, though.
We can promote him. We can advertise him.
We're not used car salesmen. Like, I'm not selling anybody.
God salesman.
Well, you know what our preacher is.
Correct.
Yeah, well.
He can come help on. You, Ronnie. I can't help you, man. They got you. I agree with it.
And I can't literally say that I'm not because I sell my fair share of it.
Yeah, I was going to say. So how do we get ourselves out of the pity party? How do we encourage others to get out of the pity party?
I know for me, I'll start it off. Most of you know when I'm out there at Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
I tend to withdraw. I don't do things.
You get mad?
Yes.
Short?
I've always been short, but...
Well, I didn't mean in stature.
Oh, okay. But yes, I get short with people.
Well, I'm saying usually you're a talkative person.
Yes, yes, I am.
So, like,
now I'm coming out of a bad isolation period right now.
Right.
You know, it lasted for several months, and I see myself changing, and I know why that change is coming, because I'm trying to surrender everything to the foot of the cross, as Bob likes to say. But what brings me out, almost every single time, is when I get into the Word and I study. And the encouragement from my community of brothers and sisters. And they could easily just wrote my other, oh, there he goes again, he's off on the deep end. We don't have time for that. I'm busy. But that's not what happens. You know, the texts come in, hi, are you doing okay? What can I do for you? Well, I don't need anything. And if I did, I wouldn't tell you what I needed.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but knowing that they offered, like Steph said, it's a big deal because the world is cold. It's so cold. People don't care about each other at all. If you don't believe me, watch the nightly news.
Too depressing. Yeah. That'll do it.
There's people out there starving, people out there without homes, they need medical care, shoes, and what do? Oh, let's go buy a $70,000 car. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a $70,000 car. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we need to take the needs of our fellow people, I would say man, but women are included, into account in our lives. I think doing for others helps bring me out of it too, every time. Mm-hmm. That's all I get at. Doing something for somebody else. Putting somebody above me. Because I find that I go into isolation when it's all about me. Me, 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 me. And I come out of it when I start focusing on something else other mm-hmm. than me.
Yep.
So that's what I got.
I got an example for you guys about the world being cruel and people thinking that they're entitled, people thinking that it should be all about them. Little Bob hurt his hand, and his hand is like swollen. His right hand is swollen, just big time swollen. Well, it made it rough for him to work today. Well, this guy brought a truck in this morning, and it needed valve cover gaskets put on it. Bob told him, "Well, I hurt my hand. I'll try to get to it, but I can't guarantee a wheel because I'm behind." Well, the guy come in about 4 o'clock. And Bob was still trying to get caught up, still trying to get things done. And this guy got so mad because he didn't have that truck ready. He goes, "Well, I've had that appointment for a week." Bob goes, "I understand you have, but I can't control when I hurt something, you know." And I'm talking, his hand was messed up. He can't hardly move it. Mm-hmm. But yet he struggled through today and got it. But this guy was so mad. Little Bob just kind of, you know, he just kind of looked at him like, "Sir, I know you're mad. I can tell you're mad. I can see it in your face." And he says, if you need to take the truck, I understand. You know, so the guy took the truck. Or I'm assuming he did, because when I left, they were still sitting there in the lot. You know, but that's just a clear fact of nobody cares how the other person is, you know. And you can clearly see his hand is just, I mean, big time swollen.
Right.
But that guy didn't care. He was mad because he didn't have that truck done.
Mm-hmm. Me, me, me.
Me, me, me. And that, you know, for me, how I get myself out of my pity parties is I try to help somebody. Like Mike said, you know, instead of taking, I try to give everything. I give as much as I can give. Try to help somebody. By the way, the girl that y'all put the tire on for, she said thank you. Mm-hmm. I just got the text. That's what I was looking at. But, you know, when we can focus on giving to people, that takes the focus off ourselves. And if we can take the focus off ourselves, that'll get you out of your pity party every time. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if you put yourself on the back burner and start focusing on helping people, seeing what their needs are, you know, if they've got a need, help them figure out how to get that need taken care of, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Even if they just need for you to sit and talk or listen, whatever, that'll definitely get you out of your pity party. And that's what I look for. I look for people when I'm at my shop and I get down, I try to look for people that I can pray for, because it helps me
snap back,
helps me put God back in my focus, helps me put people back in my focus, you know. And then, you know, then once you get back to your focus, then you can start encouraging again. How do you expect to encourage somebody if you can't even encourage yourself?
Right.
You can't do it. No way. It doesn't matter. I mean, and you can try to hide that bad attitude. You can try to hide all your whatever's going on.
Why are you looking at me?
You can't do it.
I'm looking at two of y'all.
Correct. And I'm saying, I'm pointing at myself.
Oh, no, I know.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
It Silent, just, Ron's big on that, too. He does that a lot.
Well, yeah. Just it illuminates out of you, you know?
You know, I'm reminded of that passage, focus on me, not the storm.
Right.
When you were talking, that just kept popping in my head.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I heard a guy tell me today, he goes, I was listening to a sermon, and what the preacher said hit me so hard that I was about to get up and walk out because I did not want to hear that hard truth mm-hmm. that day. Mm-hmm. That broke my heart.
Yeah.
Because you need to hear that hard truth.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to hear it. If you don't hear that hard truth, for
you're
one
just
thing,
running.
You're running. How can you expect if you're blaming God for everything? How do you expect Him to work in your life? Because mm-hmm. it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's not going to. I mean, you know, if you're hating on Him, why? He's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. Why would He want to be?
Nope.
I mean, for one thing, He doesn't need us anyway.
Right.
Right.
You know, He chooses to allow us to work for Him, to do for Him. But man, that just broke my heart when I heard that. And I'm like, no way. And I didn't know what to say, you know. It just kind of dumbfounded me. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. What do you say to that? I mean... You know, and I should have said something, but I didn't. I didn't know how to approach it, because it caught me off guard for one thing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, and it still breaks my heart because I didn't respond to it. You know, and I didn't defend God. I mean, because He was kind of bashing at God a little bit, but it just broke my heart because I feel bad for Him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sad because. You know, that he blames God. But yeah, I don't know how to help him out of that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be the hard one.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I know we can pray for him and we can pray for him, but
and sometimes I think God silences us so that we don't say something in the wrong
way. Well, that's probably true too, because
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Especially me, because sometimes I come off harsh. And
no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
how about you, super encourager?
I've obviously, you know, struggled with things, and what I really truly try to do is stop and pray for somebody else. It's like Bob said, it takes me further out of the picture. And it's not about my pity party, whatever I think that is. And it puts my focus on I'm putting somebody up to God. And that's whatever I have going on to me, that's more important than what I got going on. And if I'm really feeling down, I try not to do anything like it, any kind of prayer that's selfish. So nothing to do with like my family kind of thing, you know, and that's just what I do.
Right, yeah.
Like I said, to try and make sure that I'm just completely humbling myself when I do it. So, and like I said, I try.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't always work that way, but, you know, but that's what I try to do.
Steph, do you advertise?
I've been waiting for this one.
Every day, don't you?
Do I advertise God? Absolutely.
When you're in your pity parties?
So I have found the way the enemy likes to get me to my pity party is he makes me so busy that I wear myself out and I become very weary. And that's why it hit me so hard yesterday at church. I keep looking at you because it was your wife that did it. And so when she reached out to me and she said something, like, that's when I'm like, okay, God, I know, because in doing all the things for everybody else, I've neglected my priority. My priority, of course, as all of our priority is to you prioritize Him, to advertise Him, not us, mm-hmm. but Him, mm-hmm. advertise Him.
Yeah.
She's getting way too much.
She's got that word in there, doesn't she?
Got it.
Yeah. And did you notice that time she said advertise? She looked right at Ryan. I don't think she had a big smile on her face.
I don't think you got it.
I didn't get it. I feel like a shirt coming on.
More time.
Advertise God.
Advertise God.
Oh, we need that.
We're going to give that to you, Ronnie.
Please continue.
And so I have to, basically, for me, the way that what I have to do to get out of it is I have to just reconnect my communication with him. Sometimes it's digging in the word, but when it's like right now, me with the three kids and I don't have time. Like I told Faith to go to bed at 9:30 last night. Guess who was still awake at 11 o'clock? Faith, right in my ear. When are we going to bed? When are we going to bed? You're supposed to be sleeping right now. Lay down. And so I just have to keep that communication open with him. And it's not the traditional kneeling down, you know, and praying with him. It's just when I'm washing the dishes or cleaning up after supper, like I'm just having that talk with him. And so for me, it's just constant communication with him. And anytime that gets interrupted, I feel it in my spirit that my spirit and my soul and my body aren't connecting. Like, the spirit is always there, right? Like, we mm-hmm. all have the spirit within us. And so it's always there. It's always talking to us. But my soul and my body is just not receiving that communication. And I have to figure out, what do I need to do? Because I'm not that encourager. Like, I am, hey, God, you want me to isolate, right? Right? Like, please tell me, yes, go isolate. And usually he's like, no. You would enjoy that too much, and you would not come out of the lion's den. Like, you would be like, nope, I'm good right here with the cats.
Yeah.
Not a cat person, by the way. And so for me, it's when God presses me, like, tonight, I would have been perfectly fine taking Faith to soccer, going home, and that being it. But he's like, no, you're going. And maybe because I have words to speak, but I think a lot of it is just to be around other believers, that fellowship, for somebody like me who's perfectly fine not fellowshipping, at least in my head,
right,
I
yeah.
feel like I'm fine not fellowshipping with people.
Yeah.
Like, I know I need it, and it bites when I say I know I need it, but I also know that sometimes I need that time with just him, and it's having that balance of, okay, I did these things with people. My social time has been capped out.
Your social candle has blown out.
It has. And so now I need that alone time with him, because that's where I really find my peace within. Mm-hmm. And that's the one aspect that right now I feel like I'm not getting, because when I go to sit down and read my Bible, it's not effective, because there's just too many distractions, there's too much going on. And so for me to pull myself out, like, I have to have that communication with him. I can't neglect my prayer life. Because when I start to put my prayer life off to the side, then I know I am taking off a piece of my armor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very well put. I like that.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Coffee Mike? Mm. What was that surprise look for?
I was thinking about something and it wasn't a final thought. Sorry. Sounded like the squirrel. There it goes.
You know? Yeah.
My final thought goes kind of along with what we've been saying and Steph's been saying. Fellowship is so important. I'm a very social person. I love to be around people. Uh-huh. And I love to set things up for people to go to be together. It doesn't matter what it is. I love to set up events, of going to events. But even sometimes that doesn't help. I like to organize things. But I'm really not that good of an organization person. I'm kind of suck at it, actually. But I like to try. Where am I going with it? I have no idea why.
I don't know. It's your final thought.
I know. But
he just got lost in his own head.
Yeah, it's your final thought. You can't be wrong.
Are you sure? So I would say, reach out to others when you're struggling. Something I don't do. Trust in the Lord. Something I have a problem with. And help others. Something I love to do. I don't really have an answer for you. because everybody's journey is an individual. The relationship with Christ is individual. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what you need to be doing if you'll listen. I'm not a good listener. So, yeah, I guess that's my final thought. Who's up next?
Schmike.
I think for me, really celebrate the small victories. No matter how minute you think they are, because you need that internal encouragement to continue on. If you don't take them, you're going to wonder where God is. And I guarantee you, he's been there the whole time. You can look back in any aspect in your life that you probably should have been done with life, but he carried you out when you weren't even following him. Now that you're following him, look for him even more.
Vintage Bob.
Well, I'm going to read some verses. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. You know, everything we've been talking about goes right along with these verses. You know, when we try to get out of our pity parties, when we try to encourage people, basically, most of the time, we're worrying about something. That's what most life is worrying about something. Worrying not having this, or worrying about somebody doing this, or whatever it is. So it starts like this. It says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." This is my favorite verse right here. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So go back to that, "but seek first the kingdom of God." That says it all right there. We gotta seek the kingdom of God. We gotta seek his righteousness. We gotta look to him for all the answers. Which brings me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And they say this, and this is how you can seek the kingdom of God. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." So, there you go.
I like that Proverbs. That's a good one.
That's my final thought.
Steph?
Man, I'm glad I didn't go after him.
Me too.
So mine actually really connects with Bob's. Mine's in Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I really think that summarizes a lot of what we talked about tonight, that, you know, when we're weary, when we're heavy laden, when we have these things weighing us down, even the little things, take them to God. He wants all of it. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to seek him out. He will take care of it. He will provide the rest for you. Because he's gentle and he's humble, because he cares. He's not harsh or cruel. He cares. Nope. So he's always arms wide open, ready for us. Mm-hmm.
For me, it's going to be short, simple, and sweet. How you treat others do not reflect how they treat you. It reflects your love for God.
Mm. Yep.
And I think that's kind of like what we did for the oil change, right? Like that was, like Steph said, rejuvenating us as we were showing love to them.
Mm-hmm.
And not,
how'd you put that? Advertising.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but but I think for me also, like, that doing stuff for other people, mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I overdo, like Steph said, like I do, and then other stuff gets sacrificed. And then I'm so exhausted or tired, then I skip a devotional here, I skip a getting into the word here, or whatever, and then all of a sudden, wham, I just shipwrecked in the Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
it's a nice place over here. Come on over.
If only it could be a 3-hour tour.
Exactly.
Now you guys know. Now you guys know why I don't like water. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, that's it. I think, and Bob said it a long time ago in episodes past, is like, you might be the only Bible that somebody reads. Like, that's it, right? Like, how many people shut down conversations at the oil change, mm-hmm. right? Like, we you know, so that's fine. Show them God in a different way.
Yep.
Steph, would you pray us out, please?
Again?
Again, she said?
Oh, like you, yeah.
Advertise God for us, please.
Just saying, I have prayed in front of people 3 times now, and every time it's been on a podcast. Mm. I'm keeping count.
You're doing a good job of it.
Are we supposed to be keeping count? Because I haven't been.
I don't get asked to pray in front of people very often.
Well, it's okay. This is good for you, then.
Good
My
practice.
My social anxiety. Father, we come to you, and we just thank you. We praise you for allowing us to have a peace in all of this, allowing us to be able to shine your light, to be the light in the darkness for somebody, because we know when light's around, darkness cannot be. Yes. We thank you, Father, for the people you've given us, the people that are there to sit next to us when we're struggling, and those that are prodding us along, telling us to keep going. We thank you, Father, for your word, for being able to have open communication with you. We thank you, Father, for just who you are and what you do for us, not because of who we are, but because of who you are and what you do for us. We thank you, Father, for the ability to advertise you, for being able to just brag on you all the time, because you are so worthy of all of it.
Yes, Lord.
We ask that you just watch over us, that you continue to teach us, continue to guide us, and bless us throughout our week. Yes. And that whoever's listening, that we pray for them, Father. We pray that you give them peace and comfort. We pray that you give them guidance in your word, and that you just help them to encourage those around. We just thank you and we love you. In the name of your son, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And until next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.